Turn with me in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. If you're using one of the Bibles that's on the table there, that's page 829. Here's Paul's writing to slaves and masters, or workers and employers. And he says this, he says, "Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear, and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but like slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly, as if you were serving the Lord, not men, because you know that the Lord will reward everyone for whatever good he does, whether he is slave or free. And masters, employers, management, treat your slaves and your workers in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no favoritism with him." So tell me, how many of you have been employed or worked for someone else? Okay, nearly everybody who's probably of working age. All right. Well, then Paul begins by talking to you and to me. Right, words to those who are employed, words to those who are working. And what does he begin with? He starts off, "Obey your earthly masters," he says. And it's interesting that the word here is the same word that he used in the previous section when he was talking with children and parents. Children are to obey their parents. Slaves are to obey their master. Paul says, those who are working, we are to obey, we are to listen attentively to, we are to heed what our employer says. But then he goes on to describe that. Doug talked about a job description. What does that entail? What does that obedience entail? And Paul uses a series of phrases to describe for us how it is that we are to obey at work. And the first phrase he says is with respect and fear. And this isn't cowering terror, like your life's going to be taken from you, but fear in the sense of respect and honor. It refers to a proper spirit of Christian reverence and admiration. It says, obey with respect and fear. Then he says also, obey with a sincerity of heart, a singleness of heart. When you hear the word sincere, when you hear sincerity, who or what comes to your mind when you hear that word? Do you know anybody who's sincere? Who comes to mind? And why do they come to mind? Anybody? Sincere. What does it mean to be sincere? How? How do you know that? What's that? That's who you thought of too? Why did you guys both think of that? Without guile. That's a big word. Nice. Okay. Okay. Here's the... Okay. Okay. She's completely straightforward. Okay. So when you hear sincere, you think of Gail. Obey your earthly master with sincerity. So you would obey as you would... There you go. Okay. What do you think of Gail? Who else? Who do you think of when you think of sincere? It's being real. All right. So people that we know, right, that we think of that are straightforward with us, right? No bull. So we obey our employer that way. Right? No bull there. Without guile. Big word, Steve. Thanks. With sincerity of heart. Frankness. We are to obey with respect and fear, with sincerity of heart. Then he goes on and says this.
We are to obey just as you would obey Christ. How about that for a qualifier? Just as you would obey Christ, you are to obey your master, those in authority over you. Begs the question, how would you and how do you obey Christ right now? What authority does Jesus have in your life today? Paul says, we are to obey the same way. Do I obey my employer just as I would obey Christ? Something to think about. He goes on. He says, we are to obey not just when they are watching. I love this. The NIV says, not only to win their favor when their eye is on you. Or the New Living Translation says this way, try to please them all the time, not just when they are watching you. Is there a difference? Do we work differently when the boss is watching versus when the boss is not watching? Is there consistency or is there inconsistency there? One commentator I read said, we shouldn't catch ourselves saying, oh, the boss is coming. Quick, close Minesweeper down, right? Close Solitaire down, and let's get back to productivity. Right? No, we are to be faithful even when there is no one watching us. Our Christian worth ethic is based on integrity, not by trying to impress the right people at the right times. When I read this phrase, Bill Hybels' book, Who Are You When No One's Looking, came to my mind. It's a book about character. Who are we when we're all alone? Got a slide of some pictures up there. Who are we when the foreman isn't around? Who are we when the boss is out playing golf? These may be extreme examples, but it causes us to think, to reflect. Who are we? Do I work differently when my employer is watching than when they are not? And if so, why? Why is that? Paul encourages us to examine our hearts there. He says, obey your earthly masters. But also, he says, serve wholeheartedly. He says, serve wholeheartedly. Not half-heartedly or some-heartedly, but serve wholeheartedly. Do we know the difference between giving it half a heart and a whole heart, putting your whole heart into it? We probably are more familiar with the slang expression, which I won't say, right? We know the difference. Okay? What is the difference between working with a half a heart and a whole heart? I had to wrestle with this and come to terms with it when I was in college and seminary. One of my jobs was janitorial type work. So I was the guy who would clean the bathrooms, who would vacuum the halls, who would empty the trash either early in the morning or late at night, often when people were still sleeping or out of the way or out of the offices, that type of thing. And when you're standing over the 20th toilet for the night, right, you have time to check in and ask yourselves, whole heart or half heart? There you sit. You're in the stall all by yourself, right? Nobody else is around, right? Am I going to do this with a whole heart? Or am I going to do this with a half of a heart? We all know the difference between a toilet that's been cleaned wholeheartedly and a toilet that's been cleaned half-heartedly, right? We've been in those stalls. We know. We have to ask ourselves, am I putting my whole heart into this or am I putting just some of my heart? Right? It's true for cleaning toilets. I expect it's true for cleaning carpet, auditing financial records, making chairs, shelving books, filing insurance claims, teaching students, or driving a delivery truck. Right? Or you fill in the blank. Right? We can do these things with half a heart or with a whole heart. And Paul, he encourages us to say, to give it our all. Serve wholeheartedly, he says. Eugene Peterson puts it this way. He says, don't just do what you have to get by, but work heartily as if, as Christ's servants, doing what God wants you to do. Don't just do what you have to do to get by, he says. And why does Paul encourage you and me to serve wholeheartedly? It's because when we work, we're not just serving our employer, Paul says. He reminds us that we're not just serving our earthly master, but there's also a heavenly master. He reminds us of that too. We're also serving the Lord, he says. Often you and I, we only focus on our earthly master and we stop there. What do I do have to keep them happy? To keep them liking me? Right? And it's just enough. And we just think that the transaction stops there, the relationship stops there. But Paul says, no. Remember, there's a master in heaven. Your Lord and your Savior. And you're serving Him as well. Therefore, Paul says, serve as if you were serving the Lord and not men. Serve as if you're serving the Lord and not women. If our employer asks us to do something, right, how do we respond? If the Lord asks us to do something, how do we respond? Would it be different? He says, serve wholeheartedly because you're serving the Lord too. But also because the Lord, he says, will reward everyone for whatever they do. We may think we're alone in the stall, leaning over the toilet. Right? Or whatever it is that you might be doing. Right? Sitting in your cubicle all by yourself. But the Lord is watching. He's looking at your heart. He knows, right? And He will reward you, Paul says, no matter who you are. No matter what it is that you're doing. There's a reward. Our employers and our managers and our company may or may not take advantage of us. They may or may not reward us like we want them to. But Paul says, serve wholeheartedly either way. Why? Because the Lord will reward you for what you do. The Lord will reward you. Before we move on to talk about employers and management and things like that, notice with me again, before we move on in these first few verses, how Paul, he focuses our attention on our hearts when he talks about work. He doesn't focus in on tasks. Right? Paul focuses in on our heart. He says, obey with a sincerity of heart, he says. He says, obey with a faithful heart. Not just when they're watching, but a heart that's faithful. And he says, serve how? He says, with your whole heart, he says. How many of us are employers? How many of us are in management positions? How many of us are responsible for people on a team? All right. Oh, come on, you guys. Well, that was wholeheartedly. I was last week. All right. That's right. All right, let's try that again. How many of us are? Come on, let's get them up there. All right. Here's what he says to us. He says, masters, employers, treat your slaves, treat your workers in the same way. What I just said, he says, about employees, ditto for you. He says, do not threaten them, since you know that He who is both their master and yours is in heaven. And there is no favoritism with Him. Paul says to us who are in authority, us who are responsible for people around us, that we are to treat them the same way. Employers are to treat their employees with the same kind of respect and faithfulness and integrity that God expects of employees. When I was in high school, I worked for a couple of lawn companies before starting my own. And it was during that time that I learned about this. One of my employers, when you're in the lawn business, you kind of have to kind of start and then hope people pay you at the end of the month kind of thing. So you start the spring with not much reserves, but then the money comes in, and then it comes after you're done working afterward. That's kind of just how it goes. So he didn't pay me right away. So then I would just remind him, hey, are you going to pay me? Are you going to pay me? He paid me like 3 times through the whole season. It was kind of sporadic, but kind of made sense to me later, right? Because it's just as the money comes in or as he just wanted to part with it. So I kept kind of reminding him about this. But then the other thing that happened was I noticed that each paycheck, my rate for pay got progressively lower. So I started at $5.75 an hour for the first paycheck. And then he paid me for, like, I don't know, 200 hours or whatever, that one, right? Big lump sum. Then the next 150 hours, he paid me for $5.50. You know, I'm thinking, oh boy, I'm glad I got that, so I didn't make too big of a deal of it. But then the third and final paycheck, I got $5.25 for the next 160 whatever hours it was. I don't remember. But when that happened, right, it caused me to... When you're on the receiving end, how are you going to respond, right? How do we respond to a boss that comes in and wants us to see all these funny emails, right? How do we respond to what our employer does or doesn't do, right? And it made me think and reflect on, right? How do we treat those that we are in authority over, that we are responsible for, right? That we have obligations to, right? Well, maybe not the most ideal experience. It was an experience that taught me. Right? When I had the chance, right? When I was in the employer position and I had people working for me, how was it that I was going to treat them? And we have choices about this, Paul says. He reminds us, what is it that is informing those choices? How are we going to pay them? Right? How are we going to care for them? These kind of things. And I hope that the people that worked for me wouldn't be able to come up and say the same. I don't think they would. At least I hope not. We who are employers, we who are managers, right? We too have a master in heaven, Paul reminds us. Right? Just because we may be top of the organizational chart doesn't mean we're top dog. Right? No matter how high we get on the ladder, there's always going to be a master higher, Paul says. And that master is your master and your employee's master too. You yourself are under God's authority, Paul says. You are just as accountable as they are to you. Right? Paul says, remember this. And also, Paul reminds us that God shows no favoritism in His judgment. God will not give you, who are in a position of authority, a better reward because of your class or your situation. We too will be judged, right, by how we have acted, not by the position we've held, but what we've done in and through that position, Paul says. Workers, right, obey your masters. Serve wholeheartedly. Masters, employers, management, serve your employees. Serve them wholeheartedly, Paul says. Would you pray with me? Father in heaven, You've challenged us to examine a relationship that is common to almost everyone here. Each of us is or has been in an employer-employee relationship. And Lord, you have called us to examine our hearts in regards to that relationship. We who are employees, Lord, you call us to examine our hearts. And are we obeying? Are we sincere? Are we serving wholeheartedly? Lord, speak to our hearts. Lord, we who are employers, we who are in management positions, we who have been given the authority and the responsibility for people at work. Lord, allow us to examine our hearts too. Are we honoring our employees? Are we honoring our staff? Are we honoring those who have been entrusted to our authority? Are we taking advantage of them? Are we using them for our own gain? Lord, we know that you are watching us all the time. We call upon you to help us see the truth this morning. Help us to see the truth about the relationship. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to continue our time of reflection and response. Around you, there's going to be a bucket. In that bucket, there's going to be a piece of paper that looks like this. Right? And there'll be a pen or a pencil in there. What I want you to do is I want you to, if you're an employee, I want you to write a letter to your employer. Right? Based on what God is speaking to you, based on what God has said to you this morning, I want you to write a letter to your boss. Right? In regards to the things that Paul has called us to examine this morning. For some of us, that may be a letter of thanks. For others of us, it may be a letter of confession. Maybe we've been given half a heart lately. And we need to write and say, I'm going to give my whole heart. I don't know what it is going to be for you, but you do. Right? Write a letter to your boss. For those of you who are an employer, those of you who are in management, those of you who have authority over a group of people, I want you to write a letter to your employees. What would you say to them? What has God called you to see? What is He saying to you this morning about that relationship? Take some time. Either the CD is going to be playing in the background, or the worship team is going to be playing a while, but use these next 5 minutes just to reflect and to write. And I'm going to leave it up to you whether or not you want to send the letter, mail the letter, and put it in the inbox on Monday morning tomorrow. Right? That I'll leave up to you. Right? Sometimes it's good that we just write a letter and we file it. Sometimes it's good that we write a letter and we actually mail it. But what is God saying to you about this workplace relationship? Take some time to respond. Okay?